a verse from the first canto, chapter 5, text 2. Before starting, I would like to give you the context in which this verse appears. It is describing dissatisfaction in spiritual life. Srila Vyasadeva has just composed the whole Vedic scriptures, and still he's so dissatisfied. And the dissatisfaction makes him morose. At this moment, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, appears to him. It's a beautiful morning, high in the Himalayas, snow-capped mountains, the dynamic and fresh river Saraswati flows. And Vyasadeva is very depressed and deprimierend. Yes, that's the right word. Deprimiert, we say in German. Deprimiert, yes. Deprimiert. He's very depressed. He's sad. This dissatisfaction is really eating him, his heart away. So he requires help. And Narada Muni now will speak to him. Sometimes I think we are all a little bit sad or discouraged in our practice. And what we will hear now can be the solution of our own struggles. So this is the context. This was a hint by Narada to Vyasadeva regarding the cause of his despondency. Despondency is this deprimated feeling, this discouraged feeling. Vyasadeva, as the descendant of Parashara, a greatly powerful sage, had the privilege of having a great parentage, which should not have given Vyasadeva cause for despondency. Being a great son of a great father, he should not have identified the self with the body or the mind. Ordinary men with a poor fund of knowledge can identify the body as self or the mind as self. But Vyasadeva should not have done so. One cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind. I sincerely want to request you to again enter into this beautiful narration in the Bhagavatam. Many of you know about this already because you have heard and most probably read the Bhagavatam many times. But please, again, let us look at this amazing transcendental narration. Srila Vyasadeva had a very beautiful cottage which you can visit even now, which is at the bank of the Saraswati. Now you don't find a cottage, but you will find a very nice cave there, high in the mountains, with, I understand, two deities of Srila Vyasadeva. When I was there, there was only one deity, but now there are two beautiful deities of Vyasadeva. The cave is a little dark, but there are many oil lamps, and you see, Vyasadeva has a book, and he writes. He writes the Vedic scriptures, which are for the benefit of all of human society. He has finished his work. He is most probably getting up. He looks at his surroundings. There is this very, very romantic, idyllic, I should say, surroundings. And he looks in his heart. And he feels down. He feels sad. He feels depressed. And he does not know why. He did a wonderful devotional service. You cannot imagine a better surrounding, a more sacred surrounding than this valley of Badrinath. And he feels dissatisfied. Many people nowadays suffer from this problem of depression. It's now the number three killer, and people, cancer is the number one killer at the moment, but it is expected that depression will rise and replace even cancer. If I would please do not feel uncomfortable, but I would like to request you to sometimes look in your heart. How do you feel? Many people nowadays are afraid to look into their hearts, because they might see something which could be disappointing. So many people nowadays are very active, and they try to, by being active and arranging things and look and diverting their attention, they hope that they don't have to face what is inside. As someone who is now for a long time in a spiritual movement, I have seen that even devotees deep inside feel sometimes not very satisfied. And in order to avoid this very disturbing feeling of dissatisfaction, they also try to divert their attention in many ways. I do not wish to give examples. I think you have seen this in your own life, that I have seen it in my life. I become super active and I don't even sleep and eat and start to run. But we need to address this. I remember when I was a child, I was always too late. I'm still too late. And I remember one time when I was on my way to school, there was a big lake. It had rained for days. I lived on an island which was surrounded by an ocean, and there was a big lake all over the road. So I thought, I'm already too late. If I now go through a different road, I will be too much too late. So what is the solution? Well, I become very busy. I run very quickly through the lake, so brisk that the water cannot make me wet. I'm a child. And I became very quick. You cannot imagine how quick I could run. But of course, the water went all over me, And then I tripled and fell like a boat going through the water, and looked like a kennel rat. You know these rats who are in the kennel? Yeah. Patsy, the patsy, yes. Then I came too late to the school again. This time I was dripping with water. Oh, this teacher said, go home, get quickly home. Otherwise you will get a cold and come back later. It's all right. So anyway, sometimes we are like children. We don't address this dissatisfaction with this, which is in our heart. And we become so brittle. We think that in our lives, that by this becoming busy and diverted, we can be saved. It's an illusion. We will become bad. Or sometimes we think, let us find out the problems of other people and talk about them. This will make me happy and divert me from my own problem. But this won't work. Sometimes in spiritual life, it can happen that we even have so much dissatisfaction. Why? Because we have a very high ideal. We want to be Cheshti Bhaktas, pure devotees. And then when we look at the reality, we find out we are not yet pure devotees. And there is a gap, which makes us sad. By the way, this can be healthy. You can feel dissatisfaction, and the dissatisfaction can give rise to a more serious endeavor in your spiritual life. But it can also be a cause of further frustration. And you can become hopeless. Or maybe I will never make it. Maybe I should put my ideal down now, so that I don't live in this constant tension. Let's be realistic. There are different responses to this, and in this lecture I do not wish to talk about the different responses, but I want to talk about this dissatisfaction, this constant feeling tension inside, this not being harmonious and not being just satisfied and happy. Narada Muni will talk about a solution. And I sincerely believe that this can be a solution to many of us here. But I would like to just go a little bit deeper. When devotees come to us, they will sometimes make shocking statements. Their intention is not to offend us in any ways, but to just help us to address a little bit our own situation in this world and motivate us to go back to Godhead. See, when we address this question of dissatisfaction in spiritual life, I think it has become obvious to us, we cannot help a depressed person just by, you know, saying things like Bodhidobha, be more strict, chant more, watch more the details of your life. Because these words are sometimes not helpful. They may be correct, but they may not be encouraging or motivating. There was once a famous artist who said, I want to bridge the gap between my life and my art. I want to now address this in a... the artist is most happy in his art, you know, when he can paint, or when there's a musician, he is most happy when he is doing his art, like playing a classical piece on the piano, or, you know, whatever the art is. But then his life may be sometimes impossible. I know many artists who are good artists, but whose life is very unfulfilled. So Rauschenberg said, I want to bridge this gap between my life and my art. I wish to make the gap should be closed. What this could mean in Krishna conscious terms is, I wish to bridge the gap between the ideal which I have and the reality in which I live. And this does not happen just by repeating some slogans. It only can happen by deep realizations in spiritual life. Otherwise, if we only have theoretical knowledge, which we repeat in slogans, but our reality is such that we have not realized what we are talking about, we will be dissatisfied. I think you can, this is easy to understand. So now let us dive a little in the Bhagavatam. What does Narada Muni say to Vyasadev? How does he address his dissatisfaction? He will make a point which is so absolutely true. It's a point which Srila Prabhupada has so often repeated. And at the end of his purport, he again repeats this point in such a clear and very nice way. May I first of all ask you, because sometimes I was not here for a long time in Croatia, and only very brief, so I do not know all of you, but may I ask you, who of you wants to be happy? Oh, it's still as I thought. Because many things change in the movement. So most of you want to be happy. Another word for happiness is cheerful. Cheerful means... cheerful, how to say this? Cheerful. but a little bit more qualified. Yeah. I mean, it means full of good spirits. This is the word. A deep sense of happiness. And Prabhupada says, one cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind. This is exactly what Narada Muni points out in his disciple. He says, you are identifying yourself with what is not, the body and the mind. That's why you're distressed. He says, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? See, Vyasadeva has written the Vedic scriptures, but not yet the Srimad Bhagavatam. Most of the Vedic scriptures are telling you how to be happy physically by artha, economic development and sense gratification, and how to be happy mentally. But they don't tell you how to be self-realized and happy in self-realization. And now Narada Muni asked him, are you happy with such a, let us say, base or such an such a reality, the physical and the mental. You have not really addressed the soul, the self. You have not talked about self-realization. You have talked about the dream. Are you happy to live in the dream? This reminds us of another discussion. Who gets some discussion, some remembrance, some association? This is how Krishna spoke to Arjuna. In the beginning, very beginning. He said, while speaking learned words, you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Now, Prabhupada has talked about this often, and a very clear spot is in a little book which has been compiled from his lectures. It's called Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. No, I'm really sorry. It's Beyond Birth and Death. And it's on page one. You will have to find it at the very beginning. He says, the very first step in self-realization is realizing one's identity as separate from the body. I'm not this body, but I'm spirit soul, is an essential realization for anyone who wants to transcend death and enter into the spiritual world beyond. Listen now. But it is not simply a matter of saying, I'm not this body, but of actually realizing it. This is not as simple as it may seem at first. When I read this, I was thinking very deeply. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, you are so great. You have realized. I was thinking when Prabhupada was on his deathbed, he was just ready to depart. His body was covered with a white powder to help him avoid the swelling. And then all of a sudden Prabhupada started to laugh. His whole body was shaking with laughter. The devotee said, why are you laughing? Everyone felt like crying. Prabhupada said, don't I look like Lord Shiva? So white. And he was laughing. Just like we are now laughing about this very... Humor arises when there is one situation and then there is a total different perspective to the situation. And then we laugh when this different perspective comes up. So Prabhupada was laughing. He was thinking, here I am, lying. I look like Shiva. This laughter is only possible when you know you are not the body. You look at the body. That looks so white. Far out. It looks like Shiva. because Shiva smears himself with ashes, you know. Ashes are white. Especially when they come from wood. which is used in I don't want to. Yes, in cremation fires. Yes, then it's very white ashes. Where are you? How realized are you? It's a very important question. We cannot ignore this. If we want to be cheerful and happy, we have to start thinking about the first step. That is how we are different from the body. You cannot advance in Krishna consciousness if this is not in your mind. It's simply not possible. It will all be mental. That is, imaginations. Thoughts which come and go, sometimes feeling good, sometimes feeling not so good. And if you don't live your life as if you are a spiritual soul, you will not feel pleasure in rising up early. The natural tapasya of spiritual life will be very uninteresting for you. You will try to pursue your happiness on the bodily and mental platform. And you know how the mind is. It always wants something new. After some time, you will hear the philosophy. You will think, I'm not the body. Yes, I heard this before Krishna consciousness. Now another lecture about this. Where are we going? Where are we going? Is this interesting? The mind wants something new. Here's something new. Realize something. Realize that you are not the body and the soul. Not the body and the mind, I'm sorry. And live your life like this. Then something new will happen. The whole panorama of spiritual experiences will open to you. You will actually taste things which you cannot imagine. You will be not afraid any longer. You will be satisfied no matter what your body and mind is telling you. I met yesterday a very advanced Mataji. I was so happy. Almost tears ran down my face. I said, "How are you?" She said, "Mental, not good." Then she said something very wise. "But it will go, it's only the mind." I thought, here's a self-realized Mataji. This is very good. She is very advanced. She knows her misery will pass. And she knows it's not her. It's something else. It's her ecological surroundings. The nature sometimes suffers. A flesh has entered the tree. And the tree looks as if he is just chastised. But you go and you poor tree, but it doesn't bother you for so much. So the mind also sometimes gets some sauce, and the it gets a flesh, or the body gets some flesh. But what? It's life. We get our karma. Like yesterday, I got chastised in a public assembly. This is usually the death of a lecturer. When the audience tells him you're the greatest fool, then you can never show your face again. But I thought, my karma, I have acted wrongly. Now the just reaction is coming. Yes, so I will be better in the future. So this is very important. This, you know, step aside. Step aside, boy. Step aside, girl. Look at your body and your mind as something which is different from you. Learn the simple art of stepping a step back. When we go on the altar, we pray to the Lord like this. Oh my Lord, I'm actually not the body and the mind. I'm an eternal spiritual soul. Now, by some unimaginable good fortune, I'm trying to find it, I and the mercy of my spiritual master, I can serve you. This is how we should say, oh my Lord, I'm actually a pure spiritual soul. I'm your part. I belong to you. And you belong to me. My Lord, now I can serve you. I have done so many mistakes. But now I can serve you. By the way, when you are mental or distressed, the fastest way is to now enter into some service. Wash the dishes. Wash the pots. Do something on this platform of serving the body and the Lord. The Lord. If you are advancing, if you are longer in Krishna consciousness, Krishna expects something from you. He wants you to step aside and say, okay, I do now service. When you come to such a gathering, yes, it is enjoyment. But when you want to really enjoy the gathering, do some service. Put up your sleeves. Tighten your zari. Say, where is some service? I am an eternal soul. I need to serve because I am a servant. That's me. Another tip which helps us to realize a little bit that we are soul. The first tip is act like a soul. The second step is think like a soul. This especially is there when we are dealing with others. Other people always have other perspectives. And sometimes this can create tension between people. And especially when we are from Croatia and Serbia and Italy, this tension hurts us very much. Oof! That you said this about me, this will cost me 5 years of my life. We feel sometimes like this. We have very strong emotions. And when we are with many people, there is this tension is bound to happen because of different perspectives. I want to request you to learn tolerance and forgiveness as a regular mental practice. You know our Bhakti Teda Maharaj has spoken so much about this. He gave this example. If you do not forgive, then you are like a person who holds hot coals in his hands waiting for the opportunity to throw it on the person who has hurt us. Who gets burned first? It's clear. Yeah. So, as a regular, but to forgive, it sometimes helps to just be a little bit more tolerant. To understand, oh yes, brahmacharis see things different from grihastas, or a person who is a newcomer sees things different from an oldcomer, or a person from Macedonia is a little bit more soft than a person from Serbia. They see things differently and they respond differently. You know, this human tolerance is so important because it leads you to forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Another practice to learn that I'm not the body, but I'm a self. Oh, by the way, the inner strength for tolerance and forgiveness comes from bhajan. Bhajani, yes, bhajani. By good chanting and good bhajan, you know, praying, reading, first-class bhajan, you get some snaga to forgive others and to be also tolerant. To accept, yes, there's another perspective. He's most probably right from his viewpoint. He, just like I think I'm correct, he thinks he's correct. This is normal. So why should I hate the other perspective? It's a different perspective. This will help you. But remember, the strength comes from good bhajan. Ultimately, to realize that we are soul and not the body and the mind requires of all of us to practice self-realization. First process is chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. Please take this very serious. It would be very nice if we practice for 1 year now, very intensely. And then next summer camp, we all come back as self-realized souls. Fully understanding we are not the body and the mind. What do you think about this project, Moksha Ruby? Moksha Ruby thinks it's great. He is our professor of the Veda Academy and a first-class devotee, and as we see, a wonderful Mridanga player also, who has the fire. So, yes. Even if it's too high of an ideal to become self-realized after 1 year, let us make some steps in that direction. I think we need it. See, most of you are older devotees now. They are here for 5 years and more, much more. And also, I see the young devotees which we attract nowadays are very qualified people. I'm always amazed. They're not like a person like me who was not knowing anything, just a bundle of the mode of passion and ignorance. They are more elevated people. I really believe if you can act on the spiritual platform, you can become very happy. And please, every one of you, think what this could mean. Maybe for some Matajis it means not every day shminka, but only once a week. Because we are not the body. You know, maybe for boys it could mean more tolerance. Or it could maybe mean to just get up more early and chant. To become more strict. There are many, many different interpretations. For me, it will mean to not speak so harsh and not be so critical, because I understand they are all souls. They are all Rebbe. Every one of us, please think what it could mean to act on the spiritual platform for 1 year. And of course, what the practical outcome would be, we would all take care of our spiritual dog, you know, our spiritual nature inside. Today, Gaura Hari and myself had a wonderful realization. We left the house to come here, and there was such a nice little dog. He saw us. We greeted him politely. After all, he's a spirit soul. And I was going to give this lecture, so I should realize a little bit. He said, W Jutro. I said it very politely. He's from Yugoslavia. So. And he came very close. He was very kind. Then he sniffed at my dhoti. And I thought, but then I said, I have to be a little tolerant. Like you see through your eyes, he sees through his nose. This is his circumstance. And we spoke some kind words. He looked at me like this. But then he wanted to pass stool on the street where everyone could see. I said, can't you go a little on the side? culture, kulturni. He looked at me. Yes, I'm pass. Teuretno. And we tolerated. You're a dog. yeah, this is your role. Let us try to. And afterwards, I felt happy about the exchange because I thought deeply about the soul. I really thought he is a soul. And I said, Haribo to him, please advance. Next life, maybe you come to the summer camp. as a devotee, would be nice to see you again. This is what I had to present to you today. I want to thank you very much. I hope it was helpful for you. Now let us see. Maybe there's time for one or two quick questions. Dharmagupta, yes. I always like to call the older devotees because the young have always so many questions, but they will be answered on the seminars. Here is when is happiness spiritual? When is it material? When is Krishna happy that I'm happy? First of all, I would like to say there are two types of happiness. And I will, of course, material and spiritual, but I will make a different distinction now. Human and just very spiritual happiness. And when we have spiritual happiness, we are usually also happy on the human level. like in a kirtan, where everything is so nice and we laugh with happiness. So, yeah, I saw some of you laughing yesterday because our Krishna Chaitanya sang just so nice. So some of you laughed and thought, yeah, very nice. And then we feel also happy on the human level. But I want to ask you now a question. What is better for spiritual life? Happiness or distress? No, don't. Both. Someone says distress. Why?
We are chanting better.
We are chanting better when we are distressed. We take more shelter. Someone said both. Happiness is better. Why is happiness better? Yeah, it destroys me, the distress. Yeah, so very true. Our Andrea or Alexandra says happiness is better because if I'm distressed, it more or less destroys me or disturbs me so much that I'm so bewildered. And I think we have that experience also. So my answer to this is, there is human happiness which can bring us to Krishna. Like we are, for instance, grateful and wow, this prasadam, and I'm so and we think, from where does this come? From Krishna this comes. Wonderful. And but there's happiness also which leads us away from Krishna. You know, some of us like to dance. I don't know if if we go into disco dance, we can also feel some. I've never done this, but I've seen young people in open air disco. They feel some happiness, but it is really bringing them into sensuality. There's happiness which brings us to Krishna, where we can remember Krishna. And there's material happiness, which is so overwhelming that we forget Krishna. And the same is with distress. There's distress which really prompts us to take shelter in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. For instance, this feeling of frustration, which has brought many of us to Krishna consciousness, this was not bad. But there is also distress, which can be so overwhelming that we forget Krishna. For instance, when you go to the dentist. That's my dentist is very traumatic experience for me. Yeah. So for others, they like to go to the dentist, I hear, but congratulations. In Germany, we gave this question: what is better, happiness or distress for spiritual life? First, everyone wanted to say happiness. Then they thought, it's difficult to say. I believe Krishna is very happy when he sees his devotees happy. Isn't the father happy, Dharmagup, when the children are happy? I think he's very happy. Oh, they enjoy Krishna consciousness. I remember Prabhupada wanted so much in his last days that the devotees are served good prasadam, because he knows the devotees respond very favorably to prasadam when it's good. Yes. It's an important spiritual practice to eat prasadam for us. It's not like the non-devotees who just eat to not be hungry. No, they also go to enjoy, I know. Yes. No, that's a wrong example. But it's for us, it's a spiritual process to eat prasadam in the association with devotees. should be nice music, clean atmosphere, and then we enjoy. Prabhupada wanted, when he was in Vrindavan and when he was just leaving, he every day asked what was served for prasadam, and he gave tips how to improve the quality of prasadam. Because he feels happy when the devotees are happy. And Krishna, in his own way, is also happy. Happiness comes when you increase the mode of goodness in your life. That is some regulation, cleanliness, you know, these deep thought. Then you can become very easy, very quickly happy. And this mode of goodness life is the best life from where we can start our spiritual life. Passion and tamā is not such a good process, a starting point. So, Hare Krishna, I have taken a long time. There's Govinda Nandan, I saw your hand. Is it? Yes, please. So this I will now be very fast. Yes. So the steps of forgiveness. When someone comes to you and asks, forgive me, how you can forgive another person. Okay, yes. Manuel, yes. I want to point out there is a very nice MP3 where Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj has spoken about this subject. It is in a Mayapur lecture, and Syama Mayi knows about this MP3. She has given me a present of this MP3. There, Maharaj talks about the steps of forgiveness. And the first step is something which makes it very easy for us, because usually when we feel hurt by someone, we are very much in our world, and in our world of pain. So he says, the first step in forgiveness is to understand that if you don't forgive, you allow that the pain continues to rule you, because you keep it. Oh, he did this. And when you see him, you have not forgiven him, you see. Yes, the atmosphere between us is what it is. I'm trying now to speak not so heavy any longer. you know, the atmosphere is tense between us. And you see him. You hurt me so much. You are a Nitko. Look at you. We are like this, but he may not even know about this. He may have forgotten. He goes happily through his life, and we have Nikav in our heart. You remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he reacted to Amogha? Amogha had severely criticized him. He has really made an offense against Mahaprabhu. Really. It's so bad, I won't even tell you. You would just become depressed. And as a result, Amogha was dying. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this. He went to Amogha. His first question was, Amogha, you are a Brahmana. How could you allow that in your heart envy resides? How could you allow this? The heart of a Brahmana should be the most pure place. How could you invite envy in there? So I believe this is, you know, the first, I think Bhaktitirtha Maharaj had really expressed it very nice. This, to first understand, I must forgive to get this feeling of, feeling of hurt or feeling of maybe an aggressive feeling which I have towards the other person. Out of the heart, because I want to live. I don't want that this is in my heart. It's, in other words, self-serving, the first step. But because we are on a beginner, it's difficult to forgive. Let us start on a level where it's possible. And from there come other steps. Paradukaduki, Vaishnava, these are very high states. He knows this person is... yes, he has done this, but he will also not feel very well. So I want to forgive him so that he can also not feel this bad energy from me. These are two very exalted points of the answer. But I would encourage you. It is. Nice thing. I also have notes on this, so if you wish to copy this, I made notes. I can in Zagreb we can make a copy of the notes, and then you can maybe teach devotees. I've taken these notes from Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. It's very useful. So please allow me to close the lecture here now. I wish you a wonderful day. Please think about you're not the body. Just even theoretically think, I'm an eternal soul. Yoo-hoo! Hip hip hooray! I'm an eternal soul. I'm not of this world. I'm actually a resident of the kingdom of God. I go through my little dream now. I try to be as good as possible. But I'm from there. I will go there. Think like this and experience how you will be happy in your life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi go nitai ki, go premanandi adi adi bo.